Welcome in, Fanatic post-game show. Ugh. The Eagles lose to the Patriots down at Lincoln Financial Field. And welcome into the Fanatic post-game show presented by Prop Swap. I am Jamie Lynch, joined as always by Andrew Salchunas. And that is going to leave a sour taste in the mouth for a long time. Realistically, in the grand scheme of making the playoffs, I don't want to say that game was irrelevant. It's certainly not irrelevant, but it's not a death blow by any means. I'm going to start out with a ray of sunshine there. And now let's get into how bad it was. Yeah. What's your takeaway?
Screw your sunshine. Seriously. Screw your sunshine.
What's your takeaway? What's your big takeaway from the game today? Where was it lost? What has you most irritated? Is it play calling? Is it Carson's play? Is it lack of playmakers all over the place? Between the secondary having about four interceptions they could have had to Nelson Aguilar on the final play in the end zone he could have made. Just my takeaway from this. Lack of playmakers all over.
Oh, yeah. Of course. Carson Wentz, let me just say this right
yeah,
away.
Yeah, you have to preface everything.
Carson Wentz did not have a good game.
No, he did not.
Carson Wentz did not play well. It should be a tie game right now.
It should be in overtime.
I see so many people saying, well, it wasn't a good pass. No, it wasn't a 100% great pass. But you know what? He was on his back foot getting blitzed, and he had to just chuck it up in the air. It hit Nelson Aguilar in the hands. Hit him in the hands.
I mean, they sent a zero coverage, blitz the house, and Carson Wentz didn't have many options there on the final play. Now, up to that point, he was not good. There was two passes before that. One, he threw at Ertz's ankles. One towards the sideline was not a good ball. Regardless, Nelson Aguilar, again, had a chance to make a game-tying or game-winning catch and came up short. I've said it since basically the beginning of the season. When he is trying to track a ball in the air, he is a drunken sailor and his body control sucks. And that's why he makes what should be average NFL wide receiver catches, he makes them look like the most difficult catch in the world.
Yeah, that's why he should be cut tonight, just saying, but whatever.
I've been calling for it for weeks.
So, Carson Wentz did not play well today. I didn't like the game plan. But at the same time, I can't really blame Doug Peterson for the game plan because he didn't have Alshon Jeffrey. He didn't have, obviously doesn't have DeSean Jackson. Jordan Matthews, they had a look to a lot today, and he wasn't even on the team until, what, last week? Or officially this week? So I can't necessarily blame Doug Peterson too much for the game plan. The defense played spectacular football today.
Yes, they did.
And it's an absolute damn shame because I know Tom Brady and the New England Patriots don't look like that same vaunted Patriots that we're used to seeing year in and year out. But the Eagles defense kept them in the game all night long. But Carson Wentz did not play well. They couldn't get that much on the ground because the Patriots have a good rushing attack. And then no playmakers, like you mentioned. There's so many aspects to it as to why it went bad, and it's just painful because they are now 5-5, and we've all been saying it. The two games, Patriots-Seahawks, we all thought if they were going to win one of them, it'll probably be the New England game, and they already lost.
I felt pretty good about today's game. I thought they were going to go 1-1 over these next two, and today was going to be the win. I'm much more terrified of the Seattle Seahawks coming into town than I am of Tom Brady and this Patriots team. That was an extremely winnable game today. It was a game that they had control of early. The first quarter, I thought they imposed their will, milked the clock, ran the ball. Carson Wentz was great. Lane Johnson went out early in the second quarter, and the wheels started to fall off a little bit. The difference with Carson Wentz with and without Lane Johnson is a very noticeable one. I believe his career numbers with and without Lane, he goes from a QBR of like 98.3 with all the way down to like a 77.5 without. And that was a big effect on the game. Losing Lane was that sucked.
Yeah, because Lane Johnson, going back to those numbers, it's because he's arguably one of the best right tackles in all of football. So you go from one of the best right tackles to a backup who might not be starting on any other team. And it's the same thing. Vitae, he's the backup. So Vitae has to go in the middle of the game. He's not warmed up, just like we saw all last year and the year before with Jason Peters. And what did we see again today? And I'm sorry, I love Jason Peters, but I said it immediately when Doug Peterson had that press conference. As soon as Jason Peters is healthy, it's his position to play.
Yes.
Doug, that was a terrible mistake. I don't care how much money this dude's getting paid. It's Andre Dillard's position. He played well when he had to fill in, and you do that. He had two driving stalling penalties in the first quarter. The first two drives, he had a penalty that screwed up everything. Like, Jason Peters should not be playing the position anymore, and it's a shame he leaves with an injury again today. It should be Andre Diller's position moving forward.
Yeah, that false start he got in the second quarter. Like, yeah, it's a tiny thing in the grand scheme of things, and certainly not a reason why they lost the game, but he killed another drive with a false start. And this, the one thing this team cannot do is shoot themselves in the foot, because they're their own worst enemies. Justin Ray, John Lamar, Tom Byron, we're all going to get into this coming up next. A lot to react to. Not a great Carson Wednesday. Evergreen statement here. Not a great day for the wide receivers again. The defense played you a great game, and you saw them holding the Pats to field goals and holding them to field goals and not breaking. And I just kept saying, man, you can't keep this up forever. Offense has got to do something, and they were unable to do so. You're listening to the 97.5 Fanatic Postgame Show. He's Andrew Salchunas. I'm Jamie Lynch. The Doug Peterson press conference will be coming up shortly, and we'll have that for you here. Time at the Fanatic is 7:55. Prop Swap is America's marketplace to buy and sell any active sports bet. This is cool. You can find out for free the current value of your sports bet right now at PropSwap.com. There's a whole new set of better odds that now only exist at Prop Swap. PropSwap offers value for buyers and value for sellers, and you don't have to wait 5 months on a futures wager. You can release your money now. There's a buyer waiting. With PropSwap, you get real control over your own money. It's a futures wagering advantage. If you were late to place your bet and now believe in the team, you've still got time. Head to PropSwap.com. Even during the game, there might be a ticket for sale. It just takes seconds to get back on top, even live in the game. And PropSwap loves bulk sellers. For some, it's a great business. You make several wagers. You list some of the extras on PropSwap. Keep in mind, many bettors can't always make it to the sportsbook when they want, so they find and buy tickets on PropSwap. Go to PropSwap.com now.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic. Now back to the Fanatic Postgame Show. Presented by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. On 97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, I'm already dreading this week.
I might not come in.
Dude, the Carson Wentz. Why does it, like... Just this is completely judging off of people's reactions to Twitter, which is usually a good temperature to take of the fan base. Isn't it? Doug Peterson's actually coming to the press conference or to the podium right now. We're going to send it down to Doug Peterson's press conference down at Lincoln Financial Field.
I mean, it affects you, in a few ways. But I thought that That long drive to score was obviously something positive. We had a nice little mix there, run and pass, and we stayed kind of positive, you know, and ahead of the chains there on first and second down. Really, at that point, I felt like we kind of found ourselves going backwards a little bit. And in games like this, too, I mean, you know, the penalties, whether they're pre-snap or, you know, during the play, obviously the turnovers, And then, you know, just lack of production overall as an offense really kind of kept us, kind of stymied the rest of the game.
Doug, what was the mood like in the locker room, and what was your message to the team after the game?
The guys are disappointed. I mean, they're frustrated, you know. They understand that we're a better football team than what we played in tonight. And, we got to coach better, obviously. We understand that. We got to play better. We didn't make enough plays. I thought the defense really kept us in this football game for the most part. And then offense, we just failed to execute, you know, and something that the guys really pride themselves on. We all do. It's just not enough plays there.
What was your assessment of Carson's performance, particularly on the drive that he got down there late in the game?
Yeah, I thought overall, you know, he really was into the game plan, into the game. You know, made some really good decisions. I think, you know, where it kind of was hard for the offense was really, you know, on first and second down. The success we've had leading up to this game was we were positive on first and second down, and we were in too many second longs and third longs today, and you know, that's hard. It's hard for your quarterback and to put your quarterback in that position because you know you're going to have to throw the ball, and you know, routes are a little bit deeper and things like that. But I thought overall, you know, for the most part, played pretty well. You know, obviously we'll watch it tomorrow and make a better assessment of that.
Doug, I know you were shorthanded on offense, but it seemed like a lot of times the offense was in the huddle, not coming to the line until we're 10 seconds left on the play clock. There was no up-tempo. I mean, why do you think that was?
I just got to get the play in sooner.
Was it just confusion?
No, there's no confusion. I just got to get the play in sooner.
We know that Lane left with a head injury. Do you have any idea on this?
I don't know yet. I'll find out tonight and then probably in the morning. Let you know.
Did that change anything you had to do, particularly in your one game?
Change? What do you mean?
Oh, is it Lane out? With Lane out?
No, it didn't change anything, no.
How do you think some of the younger receivers played?
I'll evaluate the film tomorrow and let you know.
Early in the fourth quarter, you had a 4th-and-2 at your own 39. Did you consider going for it there or was field position?
Field position. Yeah.
How did you like the cornerbacks held up against, obviously, a tough matchup with Tom Brady?
I thought they played well. You know, just a quick observation. I thought they played well. You know, obviously, you know, they're a good football team, good passing team, and they did make some plays, but overall, I thought we held up well.
How do you think Jordan Matthews handled a pretty big role for just getting back?
Yeah, he did some good things. You know, you'd like to really, again, going back until I see the film tomorrow, but, you know, he knew the offense. He knew, you know, he knew the game plan. You know, I didn't shy away from anything, you know, play call wise.
Did they make any adjustments at the half in terms of their defense?
No.
It was still the same?
Pretty much the same defense throughout the whole game, yeah. Yeah.
You spoke about the third and longs. Did you run the ball as much as you planned to or as much as you wanted to?
I mean, you always like to maybe run it a few more times, you know. Sometimes you get in a game like this, and when it's, again, you're either 2nd and 10 or 2nd and 11, maybe 2nd and 9, it kind of, you know, you're not staying ahead, you know what I mean? And that was kind of our struggle in the run game tonight, something we got to look at and fix before next week.
The decision not to use Ajayi, was it just too quick of a turnaround for him coming in on Friday?
Yeah.
How much did the injuries affect how you went about game planning this week, not knowing exactly about Alshon and Jordan, you bring bodies?
You know, we still game plan the same, and we feel like that, you know, with Zach and Dallas, you know, we can do some things there, obviously, with our runners, Miles. And again, listen, give them credit. They did a nice job on defense, kind of taking those players away, and we knew that coming into this game. And we just didn't make enough plays. So from a game plan standpoint, we went about it the same way. And then used different, you know, formations, tried to move some guys around to try to free up some of the routes.
How much do you feel like you missed Jordan and his inside running ability?
I mean, yeah, you always miss, you know, players, and he's one of them. Alshon's one. You know, you'd love to have Deshaun out there and Sproles and all those guys, too. But this is football, and you know, you got to coach up the guys you got.
Did you get an explanation on the forced fumble by Malcolm Jenkins when they told you you couldn't challenge?
Yeah, supposedly forward progress, whistle-blown forward progress, so you can't challenge that.
Did you get another look at it, or did the guys up in the booth tell you whether they thought that was...
Yeah, I mean, it was obviously, yeah, but it was a mute point at that time.
The Patriots' first drive in the second half, they come out, go no huddle, and so it's just something, you know, did that catch you off guard, or anything you could have done?
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, something that you anticipate. They're a good no-huddle team, and... Just caught us in a situation where we were a little out of position on the double pass, and it was just well executed play by them.
You know, any thought to going up tempo offensively on
that? Yeah, but again, you know, you can go up tempo all you want if you're moving the ball. And I felt like in the second half we weren't doing that, so it was kind of hard to really kind of get any kind of rhythm going.
If you look at the offense big picture, what makes you think it's going to be better? There's going to be more firepower as you go forward here.
Well, we've proven that. I mean, we've proven it when we have everybody healthy. When I mean everybody, I mean, I know we haven't had Deshaun the whole season, but when you have, you know, your guys out there with Alshon out there and Jordan out there, I mean, we've proven that. You know, we've been able to execute and move. This is a good football team. It's a good defense coming in here. It's a great third down defense. Were we 3 for 13 or something like that on third down? We knew that going into this football game. So, yeah, you'd love to have all your guys. But this is the National Football League, and the next man has to step up and make plays. And again, tonight we didn't do that.
Carson was sacked a lot in the first half. Did you feel that maybe he's holding the ball too long?
I think a couple times it might have been the case. But again, with so much man to man coverage that and some of their cover two stuff that we got to do a better job on the perimeter and execute a little bit better. Okay. Help them out.
Yeah, there's head coach Doug Peterson down at Lincoln Financial Field. I did not think Doug was great today. I thought the play calling at times was suspect. Remove the players from it. I just thought the play calling was, like that 1 8-minute and 40-second drive they had in the first quarter into the second, the beginning of the second. I just went, all right, this is it. You know, they're waiting until the last second. They're clearly trying to control the clock here. I thought things were going well, and then it just got weird from there on out.
I'm guessing Belichick, right? They then adjusted as to what they did in that long drive. That's part of it. Like I said it at the very beginning, I did not like the play calling by Doug Peterson. But at the same time, can you blame him? Can you put this game on Doug?
No, I don't think he necessarily helped.
Yeah, Jim Schwartz, I get that.
Jim Schwartz helped. I thought he had a great game today.
Yeah, the Eagles kept you in the game, but at the same time, I can't blame Doug when he's got J.J. Arcega-Whiteside playing and still is invisible. When he's got Mac Hollins out there. We applauded in the studio when Arcega-Whiteside had a catch.
29 yards. He doubled his season production in one play.
Which is a shame.
Think about that. The wide receiving core today was Nelson Agholor, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, Jordan Matthews from off the street, and J.J. Arcega, or Mac Hollins. And at running back, you potentially, because Miles Sanders went into the tent there for a little bit in the third quarter, you had potentially Boston Scott and Jay Ajayi as your running backs. You had Big V in for Lane Johnson, and you had Andre Dillard in late for Jason Peters. What the hell is going on this season?
Injury bug?
And there's nobody to back up. I mean, Andre Dillard's a very suitable. He's your left tackle in the future.
He should be the starter.
I agree with you. I said it 3 weeks ago. I was like, we should have seen the last of Jason Peters.
As soon as Doug made those comments in that press conference a few weeks ago, I was like, what? Dude, come on. Why are we doing this again? And look what happened. And then Andre Dillard, very first play, he's in the game. He gets bull rushed.
Yeah.
Why? Because he'd been sitting on the sideline except for a couple of jumbo packages when he was in as the extra offensive lineman. I'm like, come on, Doug.
I know. And Isaac Seumalo gives me some concern. But man, when Big V came in at right tackle, Carson's life became more difficult. And let's talk about Carson real quick because he's going to be the talk of the week. I thought he had a C-minus game.
Well.
He did not play well. He made a couple nice plays at certain times. He had a nice scramble on a third down once. A couple nice pickups here and there, but for the most part, pretty bad. And he was pretty brutal on that final drive.
Yeah.
People are going to focus on the Agholor play. Carson was bad for three consecutive passes leading up to that. And unfortunately, again, it was a situation where a play could have been made to bail him out, and it wasn't made because you don't have playmakers.
Yeah, you could make the case, hey, if Carson makes three good throws before that fourth down play, is it necessary, right? If Carson makes three good throws, they're closer to the end zone, and maybe he doesn't have to throw one up and hope that a receiver can make a play. But the sad thing is, you can't even hope that a receiver makes a play at this point. When he threw that ball up in the air, did you go, here we go, here we go? No, you were like, oh.
To be honest with you, what went through my head was, who's not going to catch this?
Who's dropping this one?
Yeah, who's not going to catch this?
You mentioned the wide receivers' names. I was just for the hell of it. I was like, let me just look at the Dolphins' depth chart.
Oh, I would take the Dolphins wide receivers in a heartbeat.
Yes.
Devontae Parker?
Yeah.
Yeah, he'd be an all-pro here.
Albert Burns. Albert Wilson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'd take them all.
They're all better than what the Eagles have right now.
Look, this, unfortunately, you can't even say how you talk about how bad the wide receivers are without all the Wentz haters out there being like, oh, see, man, you can't blame the star quarterback, number 11. Blah, blah, blah. It's all these receivers' fault. Carson Wentz did not play well. His receivers are worse. Both facts are true. Let's go to the phone lines. Justin in Virginia Beach kicks us off. What's up, Justin?
Hey, what's up, man?
What's your takeaway from the game today, Justin? It's an extremely winnable one they'd left out there at home.
Well, first and foremost, okay, Nelson Aguilar makes, what, $9 million a year?
$9.5 million.
Guaranteed.
Okay, well, I'm kind of short and kind of stocky. I could probably get better than him.
I don't doubt it, Justin.
So let me ask you this, though. Look, I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to put it out right now, okay? I listen to 975 Fanatic from 6 in the morning till 6 p.m., okay? I know this is all Eagles, but hey, tune this. Play the song. Come on.
They blew out the Cavs today.
We at least won. But look, man, Nelson Aguilar, Jake Arcega, White Sox, they can't catch nothing. Nothing. They can't catch a cold.
Yeah.
When's the time to cut ties with these guys?
Yeah.
It's time, man.
I would have Nelson Aguilar in my office.
Future.
And cut.
Talking about the future. Get rid of them. The bums. The garbage. Like I said, I'm a short, stocky, you know what? I'm probably even fat. You know what? I could probably catch a ball.
Hey, Justin, that's all right. It's in. It's fat guy fall, man. This is what we worked for all those months.
All those months.
Fat yeah.
guy fall. Guess what? You know what? If we had a ball thrown away, if we had one opportunity, one chance, we'd catch it.
Yeah, I hear you. And thanks for the call, Justin. Appreciate it.
You know what? It was a shame. You can't even be critical of Nelson Aguilar.
You can't, because then all the Wentz haters go, what are you talking about? The Carson sucked.
Yep.
And it's like, well, both are true.
Jamie, I just got a tweet.
I literally put a tweet out that said, Carson Wentz was not good. The receivers are also awful. And some guy goes, I'm sick of you Wentz defenders. And I went, what? What the hell are you reading?
I literally clear Carson Wentz had a bad game today.
I would give him like a C- grade. You could talk me into a D+ even.
Well, Hammer on Twitter said that they should call Colin Kaepernick because he'd be better than Wentz, because Wentz has been bad for 2 years now.
Yeah, okay. I mean, the Eagles were one of the eight teams in the league that were at his workout yesterday.
We are now at, let's sign a guy who was throwing to open receivers without pads on, 50 yards downfield.
Yeah. I got text today from people that said put McCown in.
Oh, God. Carson Wentz had a bad game. Bad, 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 bad game.
Bad Carson.
We need to set the record straight. We both think Carson Wentz had a bad game today.
He had a bad game today.
Nelson Aguilar should have caught that.
Nelson Aguilar should have caught that to tie the game up. That's the way it is. Nelson Aguilar is incapable. Watch the route he takes on that ball. He is incapable. He never has his body in the right position to make a play. He's always bending backwards or falling forward or off balance. He just sucks. I mean, that's the reality of the situation. Without Jordan Howard and without Alshon Jeffrey out there today, you were left with your pants down, and nobody could do anything for you. Let's go to Ray in Massachusetts. What's up, Ray?
What's going on, fellas? Yeah, Aguilar. Yeah, he, Cuz said, he has crab hands.
Yeah.
Yes.
He really does.
Yes, he does. He really does. And it's, like, as far as the game, as a whole, everybody on the offensive side of the ball is terrible. The offensive line is horrible. Carson Wentz is back there, and like he don't feel comfortable standing in the pocket.
No, his pocket awareness is bad. And part of that, Ray, is I really believe this, and I don't want this to sound like I'm a Wentz apologist here. I really think some of his – he holds onto the ball too long because nobody's open. And
yeah,
he has that hero gene where he always wants to make a play. He can't mentally throw the ball away. And that's something he needs to get over, especially currently right now. There's times like that Kelsey bad snap before the half. When he recovers that ball, that's a ball you just got to throw away. You can't take sack there.
Yeah,
so he has that hero
that was
gene.
Horrible.
But man, like
that was horrible. But then take a look, like when he dropped back in the last 5 minutes of the game, when he dropping back, he's not even looking at the receiver. He's just flinging it, just getting the ball out of his hands.
Yeah, they brought the house on that.
Yeah, they was bringing the house, and they only bringing four.
Yeah, the offensive line sucked.
As
soon as Lane Johnson went out, the offensive line was pretty bad.
It was horrible. I was like, oh my goodness.
But Wentz's pocket awareness, like you brought up, it's not great.
It's not like that whole the whole offensive. I think it starts with the offensive line. It has to get fixed.
Yeah,
it has to.
Yeah, and right. Thanks for the call, buddy. We appreciate it. I've always kind of said, you know, I worked so many Brady games and Peyton games for Sunday Night Football over the years. I used to always watch their pocket awareness because to me, like, there's tons of good quarterbacks. The great ones are the ones that can sense pressure from all angles. Like, sometimes you watch Brady, not, I'm talking like prime vintage Brady.
Right.
He moved around the pocket without even looking. Like, he just sensed where pressure was. And you're able to step up and find a passing lane here. Carson isn't even, like, his pocket awareness is just isn't good.
Yeah, and that's why he's fumbled in four straight games.
Dude, did you see the stat about Carson Wentz?
I saw you tweet out about
it.
Close to Jameis Winston level.
Oh, you want to get sad about Carson Wentz? Let me just find the stat
but
here.
It's the same thing. It's like, well, you just brought up the hero gene. Like, he's
well, that's something he needs to correct.
And the problem is he's hoping, praying, expecting that Mac Hollins is going to, you know, break his route to find an open position. He's hoping that J.J. Arcega-Whiteside or Nelson Aguilar are going to break their route because the play's dead, but they're going to find a way to get open. It just doesn't happen. They're not good receivers.
Yeah, so here it is. That was Wentz's 36th fumble in 50 career games. Only Jameis Winston has fumbled more since Wentz entered the league in 2016.
Oof.
His ball security is not great.
No.
Now, his ball security in the passing game and not throwing interceptions is pretty keen, but his pocket awareness and protection of the ball in the pocket is troubling. It really is. And I felt like stepped into a couple sacks early in the game. He just did not have a good day in the pocket whatsoever.
Look at us being critical of Carson.
How dare you? John in Southampton's up next. What's up?
Yeah, I'm disgusted with Carson Wentz. I think he had a D minus, if that. I mean, he had guys wide open and he can't even hit them right. Throwing a ball on the back shoulder with your defensive guy hanging on you. He doesn't lead them on. They can't catch a ball on the run and get yards after the catch with him.
Yeah.
Doesn't happen.
No, you're right, John. He had a bad game today.
Awful.
Yeah, it really was. I think it was one of the worst Wentz games you've seen in a lot, especially at home.
I think so also. What concerns me is when he's bad, he's bad. When he's good, he's good. There's not a mediocrity there. He goes from one to the other.
Yeah, he's not. I kind of hear what you're saying. Like, there's no just sustaining.
Right.
And getting by with ugly wins type of thing.
No consistency. Even when the receiver's wide open. Threw it on the ground, back shoulder, way off to the left, off to the right. Just terrible.
I know, and Mac Hollins even got open on a route today, and he missed him.
I know.
I know. Yeah.
I wish I'd have marked down how many passes he threw that were bad. And what constitutes a drop pass?
If your hands get on it in a, you know, fair window. I think it's kind of a judgment call when it comes to that. But as long as it's a fair, not diving, outrageous
right.
catch.
Okay. Well, nobody on that team dives for a catch. Anyhow,
no, that's
so
true.
We don't have to worry about that.
Hey, John,
leap for a catch. They don't.
Yeah. John, thanks for the call.
Exactly. And that's why it's not 100% on Carson.
Like, no.
Jordan Matthews, there was a 50-50 ball in the fourth quarter, and it was either a second and long or a third and long. That it was a third down.
Oh, he needs to make that play.
It's not even a 50-50 ball when it hits you square in the hands.
And that was perfect.
And the defender who's covering you wasn't even making a play on the ball. He was just trying to maybe force you out of bounds. So it's not even a 50-50 ball. It's an 80-20 ball. Jordan Matthews has to make that catch, but because he's on the Eagles, it's a negative 20 ball.
Yeah.
Because you drop it.
Yeah. I mean, there was a couple throws today that Carson made that were really nice. And then there's, you know, three throws on that final drive where it's like, dude, what the hell? Like, did you just get your... Did the Monstars come down and suck your skill out of you? There was another one to Miles Sanders. It was another third down when they were down around their own goal line kind of driving out. He probably would have gotten the first down, but Wentz just, like, threw it at his ankles. Like, he makes passes sometimes where I'm like, have you ever played quarterback before? But then there's other times where he's putting balls on the money in tight locations and doing the right...
He does the Houdini play every once in a while.
Yeah, and as much as we say, yeah, he holds onto the ball too much, he does, but you kind of have to live with that sometimes because he will make that Houdini play and bust out and have a big play. He needs some help, though, and he doesn't have any right now. And it was not a good game for Carson Wentz, and it was not a good game for anybody on offense. It was a good day for the defense and Jim Schwartz. Greg, Nick, Lamar, Tom, Mike, we'll talk to you guys coming up next. You're listening to the 97.5 Fanatic Postgame Show, presented by PropSwap. I'm Jamie Lynch. He's Andrew Salchunas. Time at the Fanatic is 8:23.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic. Now back to the Fanatic Postgame Show. Presented by PropSwap. America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. On 97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back into the Fanatic Postgame Show. Presented by PropSwap. America's marketplace to buy and sell sports wagers. And this weekend's programming is brought to you by who, Tyler?
It's brought to you by Rivers Casino Philadelphia. The action has arrived at Rivers Casino Philadelphia. Everything you want, just the way you want it. Rivers Casino Philadelphia, always on our game. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
So, you know, there's always blame, you know, dished out when there's a loss like that, especially when it's a winnable game. You know, I just got a text from, like, Bob Cooney. He was like, your boy Doug was awful today. Do you, if you had to split up the blame pie here, who gets your biggest piece?
Do I go Howie? I guess Howie.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, right. roster construction, and I mean, look at what you had out there at times. You had Jay Ajayi potentially getting real snaps after signing a contract on Friday.
Which is hilarious.
You had Jordan Matthews off the street. You have guys like Boston Scott playing a huge role, and that's not a knock on Boston Scott. He is what he is. But if he returns another punt from the 5-yard line, I'm going to freak out.
Yeah, I guess I would go Howie. Carson would be second. Doug's third. Like, I think Carson's blamed more so than Doug Peterson.
I would agree. Howie gets the biggest piece of the pie.
Yeah, because, look, it's embarrassing that what they have out. And I get it. You can say injuries have really plagued, and it's not Howie Roseman's fault that the team's getting injured. It's not his fault that the doctors, yada, yada, yada. It's not his fault.
Do you know why we have the what seems like the highest injury rate of anybody in the league? Because we're an old roster.
Yes. That's part of it.
And that's something that needs to change. And they need to get young, and they need to get young at skill positions. You know, like you said, you pulled up the Dolphins wide receiver core. Albert Wilson on this roster would be the best player on the wideout group. Like, stuff like that has to change. And Albert Wilson was out there on the street a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
He was just out there. I'm not saying Albert Wilson, but maybe Albert Wilson makes a catch to tie up the game with the game on the line finally.
And he wouldn't be getting paid $9.5 million of guaranteed money, which is what Nelson Agholor gets. And guys, any NFL player. Any professional NFL player that is getting guaranteed money, $9.5 million worth, should probably make that catch.
Yes. The other one earlier on third down was deflected by the defender. I saw a lot of people ripping Nelly for that.
That wasn't Agholor.
I thought that was a really tough play to make.
Nelly? He doesn't deserve Nelly after
dropping. No, he doesn't. He deserves to be cut.
A game-tying touchdown.
I've been out on Nelson Agholor for weeks. I honestly would have cut him a long time ago. As a guy given every opportunity in the world to step into a role and make a name for himself, getting paid $9.5 million, he does less than anything to help this team. But Carson Wentz was not good today. Eagles offensive line was not good. Losing at Lane Johnson was a major loss for this team. I thought Isaac Seumalo had a poor day.
He always has a poor day. He's another one. That's a third-round pick.
Why do we feel like... Doesn't it feel like he's just kind of gifted into this position?
Yes.
Like they feel like they have their left guard in the next 7-8 years here?
They love Isaac Seumalo.
Why?
I remember just last year when he wasn't playing well, it was, oh, we think Isaac... It's almost like the Matt Collins thing. He grades out well in practice.
Cool. Well, like, I just heard Carson talk during his press conference. And granted, he's not going to go up there and rip his wide receivers.
No.
But, you know, they said, you know what was going on out there? Well, I see these guys in practice, and I have all the confidence in the world. Well, maybe if you had all the confidence in the world, you wouldn't hold on to the ball long occasionally and give your players... a chance to make a play. The fact that you don't tells me you don't trust these guys at all. Let's go to Lamar in Philly. What's up, Lamar?
Yes, how you guys making out today?
Well,
I'm hoping you let me get through these notes. The last guy I was on said he wished he took notes tonight. I took notes tonight, and I just want to be real brief. And I'll
Yeah, let's run through them, Lamar.
He missed the third and long Jordan Matthews. That was a catchable wide open. He missed high outside to Hollins on a double move.
That one he definitely missed.
Held the ball all night long, way too long. Fumbled the ball. Two third and longs, he threw a 2-yard slant and a 2-yard drag out. Third and 10, and Ertz late in the fourth quarter, threw on the dirt. He didn't throw to a running back that was just going on a simple out padding out of the backfield all night long, even when he had pressure and no time to go nowhere else. They was begging for him to dump the ball off. He held on to it. You would never win like that. And in my opinion, Aguilar will be gone soon. That's the smallest of the problems.
I agree.
$9 million problem that will be gone. You'll have this quarterback for the next 5 years.
I'd have to look at his contract to see what's absolutely guaranteed. But, yeah, you're probably right. It's probably at least 5 years.
And in my opinion, Jordan Matthews only gets a job in this city. So, at the end of the day, it goes to show you, you can't beat a winning team. I mean, I have watched. I don't care what nobody say. I have watched the two biggest superstars in this city come up small, and you ask the question over and over and over again, why won't this guy shoot? Why do this guy hold the ball long? And you get the same answer. Well, Carson's great. These other guys stink. Well, when the other guys are gone, it's going to be time for a new excuse or a new person to pick on.
Well, Lamar, you do agree he would be a better quarterback with better options at receiver, correct?
Nope. I don't agree with that. And I listen to you guys every day. Same what the last caller said, from 6 to 6. I listen to you guys.
But Lamar, what was 2017 then?
Yeah, well, okay.
Because that's what breaks my brain about all this. 2017 was real. We saw that.
Okay, it was real, Jamie. But what schedule were you playing in 2017? Were you playing a losing schedule or a winning schedule?
I'd have to actually go back and look at 2016. You know, they were 7-9-1.
Let me tell you, you were playing the last place schedule in 2017.
They were 7-9-1 in 16, right?
Okay, yeah. So you were playing a bad schedule that year. But my thing now, Jamie, we almost in 2020, and people are still saying 20. If that's the case, McNabb should have a statue down South Philly. If that's what we're praising this guy off that one good year, McNabb took you to 5 NFC championship games.
I defend McNabb all the time, Lamar, and thanks for the call, buddy.
He's a hater.
Point
it out.
Am I starting to have some fears that maybe he's not who I thought he was? Yes. They've crept into my skull.
Because we thought he would be a top 3 quarterback, right?
What we saw in 2017, he was a legit MVP candidate that any GM in this league worth a salt would have killed to have for as their franchise quarterback. That was real. Last year he came back. He had the broken back. He was coming off the knee surgery. He was solid even with all of that. Solid, not great. Is that fair?
Yeah, it's fair.
This year he looks, you know, all the injury excuses were out the window.
And he's healthy this year.
And he's healthy. He came in with the offseason. He had all that. He had OTAs. He had training. And he hasn't taken that step. Now, there's reasons for that. And part of the reasons, I think, are his lack of playmakers, for one. Like, there was a play earlier today that Michael Gallup made for Dak Prescott that was just, it was a bobbled play. It was a really nice catch by Gallup. But I, like, laugh to myself, and I do this when I watch college games. I do this when I watch the entire NFL. I go, yeah, there's nobody on the Eagles that could have made that.
Well, yeah, a guy, Rich on Twitter, just tweeted us a video from the Ohio State receiver.
Terry McLaurin.
No. Chris Olave, I believe it is.
Oh, kid, currently at Ohio State.
Oh, at Ohio State.
Okay, yeah.
He made a catch yesterday where he secured it using his left butt cheek.
Yeah.
But, like, all jokes aside, it's, dude, his left hand and his left butt cheek is better than the hands on the Eagles receiver.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's ridiculous.
It's hard for me to think that Wentz doesn't still have it because of what I saw in 2017. That's not something I can just throw away. What we saw there was real. If it was lightning in a bottle, then I'll be shocked. But you had Alshon Jeffery be an elite, kind of borderline number one receiver that year. Nelson Agholor was somehow miraculously was one of the best slot receivers in the league that year. Jordan Matthews was not on. Torrey Smith. You had guys that were better than what you have. Yes. So it's hard for me to think it's all him. Was he good today? No. There was a couple passes where I went, dude, what the hell was that? Including the one that Lamar brought up to Mac Hollins the first time he gets open. Including the one to Ertz on 3rd and 2 where he threw it at his ankles. Including the one to Miles Sanders where it looked like he didn't know how to throw a football. But man, he's got my brain in a pretzel.
Yeah, I'm getting a tweet from some fraudulent blue checkmark guy that says, never mind how difficult of a catch that was or how we got in that situation by Carson throwing awful passes, right? Now, we've pointed that out. I said about 20 minutes ago, if it wasn't 4th down because of those first 3 bad passes, you're not in that same situation.
Yeah, totally fair.
But then when he does make the play, he makes the throw, back foot, pressured. 98.5% of receivers make that catch in the NFL.
You see that all over the place.
You see
except
it,
here.
You see it in on Monday Night Football when they do the You Got Mossed thing. They have high school kids making plays.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, oh.
Cool.
Cool.
Yeah.
This 16-year-old is better than Nelson Agholor.
Ugh. Tom in Westchester's up next. What's up, Tom?
Hi. How you guys doing?
We've been better, Tom.
Me too. Kind of disappointing day.
Yeah, you know? So what was your main takeaway today?
I mean, I wasn't mad that we lost the game, but the way we lost it. The offense was just embarrassing. Bad play calling, bad plays by Wentz. Receivers can't get open. Just the same stuff you guys can say.
I know. Like, it feels like we have the same conversation every week.
I know. It's like the same. It's like a CFL offense out there.
Yeah.
It's just embarrassing and like,
today sucked. That game just sucked. That was a tough one to just watch, even.
Yeah. When Frank, it was such a painful game to watch. Like, when we get blown out, it's all right. But this was just not all right. But like, this was just embarrassing. Pathetic. Could have won this game. Defense played well, but offense just embarrassing.
Yeah, the defense did play pretty well. You don't have playmakers at wide receiver. You don't really have playmakers in the secondary either because, man, that secondary could have had about 4 picks today.
Oh, yeah, I was just going to get on in the end zone.
My
that
God.
Pick, I forget who it was.
Rodney McLeod, he should have had it.
And the play calling, why 5 yards every time? We haven't had over a 30-yard touchdown since week one.
Yeah, and you know what, Tom?
Wow.
The worst part is it's 5 yards when it's like 3rd and 10, right? Like, how many times did we see it? And Doug talked about it during the press conference was, oh, well, we had a lot of 2nd and longs. Okay, well, it's because you ran the ball and you didn't get a yard. But then instead of doing that 5-yard slant route on 2nd and 10, you were doing it on 3rd and 10. And then even if they didn't make the catch, they're getting tackled right away. And now it's 4th and 5 and you got a punt.
100% agree. And even on the last drive, the offensive line was bad, but on the last drive, the offensive line played pretty well, and Wentz just missed open passes. Like, the one to Ertz, that was such a bad pass.
Yeah, that was horrible.
First down. It was horrible.
Yeah.
And, like, every team gets these 30-yard touchdowns, a big play, but we can't. And Nelson, I know it's a tough catch, but you got to make that.
Yeah.
You got to make it. You got to step up.
100%. And, Tom, like, thanks for the call, man. We appreciate it.
We know football, right? A 3rd and 10, you run a slant route because you expect the guy to then make a play after making the catch.
Yeah.
But who on this team do you expect to make a play? The one guy that we have any sort of faith in that's a receiver that can make something happen after he has the ball in his hands is Nelson Agholor. But the problem is he has to catch the ball first. And we all make the jokes about Zach Ertz and not getting yards after the completion. Exactly. That's why you can't throw him a slant route on 3rd and 10 either, because he's not going to get to the first down marker. And that's why you have to punt over and over again.
So here it is. NBC Sports Philly has it up. 17 targets to the wide receivers today for a whopping total of 6 catches and 75 yards.
You said 69.
Well, because it was 40 and 29, so I did the easy.
Wow.
Yeah, I did the easy math first, and then I just tacked on the 6. You see what I did there? That's what we call genius-level math, Andrew. But that's pathetic. It's pathetic, and Carson Wentz did not play well. And I hate that I have to preface talking about how bad the wide receivers are with, well, Carson Wentz didn't play well. Because that's not what we're saying. Carson has plenty of the blame today as well. But man, you're not going to win many football games with the wide receiver core that's out there today. You're listening to the Fanatic Post Game Show. He's Andrew Salchunas. I'm Jamie Lynch. Post Game Show is presented by PropSwap. Time at the Fanatic is 8:42. PropSwap is America's marketplace to buy and sell any active sports bet. PropSwap offers value for sellers and value for sellers. You don't have to wait 5 months. You can release your money now. There's a buyer waiting with PropSwap. You get real control over your own money. It's a futures wagering advantage. If you were late to place your bet and now believe in the team, you've still got time. Head to PropSwap.com, even during the game. There might be a ticket for sale. PropSwap is a real edge on sports wagering and a real value to sports bettors. At PropSwap, there are no rules, only opportunities. Did you miss Or did you bet a long shot at the sportsbook and have buyer's remorse? Do you want to weigh out on a long futures bet? Here's your second chance. Sell it on PropSwap. Have your bets gotten a little overextended? Sell those wagers on PropSwap and get cash right away. You can change your destiny and correct your course in seconds. You're no longer locked in. PropSwap is ready and waiting. That's PropSwap.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Welcome back into the Fanatic postgame show. Eagles go down to the Patriots today. I'm shocked. NBC Sports Philadelphia is doing a poll. Who do you give blame to for today? It's pretty split between Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz, with the receivers only getting 7% of the vote, offensive line only getting 2% of the vote. This offense sucks, doesn't
offensive
it?
Offensive line, I don't really blame, but I feel like people aren't voting receivers because they go, well, I already knew yeah, they well, suck.
Everybody knows they suck, so can we blame them for sucking? Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I guess it is more the Howie Roseman issue.
If you put Howie on that poll, I wonder how much of a difference it would have been.
I did Doug make me scratch my head a couple times today with play calls? Yeah. Like on the fourth and five or third and fives, when you throw a 2 yard out slant out to a receiver that can't break tackles or get extra yards, you're going, all right, why you should be throwing past sticks, like that type of stuff.
Well, yeah, like I don't get the constant underneath routes on third and 10 when you don't have playmakers.
Yeah, you don't have playmakers. So I get that. Like that made me scratch my head. But was he really that bad today? Am I missing something? Was there anything Doug did that was like, really? Like, what the hell are you doing, Doug?
No.
But, like, nothing jumps out at me.
But at the same time, coming into this game, like, you know, you do the morning show. I'm sure you guys did game planning stuff on Friday. So When I was on with Anthony on Friday, he asked me, what is it going to take to win? And I said, it's not even a Carson Wentz out-dueling Tom Brady thing. I think they have to get something going on the ground game. But I think this has to be Doug Peterson's, if not his best, his top three best called games of his life.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes, you have to take everything into it. You have to take into the fact that they don't have talented players. So you have to find any way to make those guys play well. Whether it's Jordan Matthews, Mack Hollins, and his great outs on blocking, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, the tight ends, you name it. It's up to Doug Peterson to design an offense to make something work. And he didn't do anything spectacular. No, he didn't do anything egregious today, but he didn't do anything spectacular. I wasn't sitting here except for that first drive going, oh, good job, Doug. No, like,
yeah,
not once today.
Yeah, I don't know what happened from the 8 minute and 46 second drive in the first quarter and second quarter there where they were near perfect. It seemed, you know, they weren't able to get back to that. I find it hard to believe it's all Lane Johnson going out, but it was right around the time that Lane went out when things just started to, the wheels started to fall off. And, man, I hate to complain about injuries because every team's got them. But, man, what the hell is going on here?
Yeah, and it's key ones. Like, the DeSean Jackson deep threat is real. Not having him is a real big deal. And that also goes back to Howie Roseman screwing up and not realizing that you have an issue and just depending on DeSean to come back, and when he came back eventually.
No, they botched that one.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Oh, he's eventually going to come back, and when he comes back, he'll be fine.
Yeah. It's the same thing with Darren Sproles. They tell these players, well, I don't know what they tell these players, but the assumption is that the guys are going to be able to return. You end up wasting a roster spot by not IRing them.
Yep.
And then you're back to them going out for the season again. It's just a cycle that repeats itself. Not that the Patriots would have played the Eagles offensively the same way or defensively the same way on that final possession if DeSean Jackson is here, but imagine having DeSean Jackson running that route instead of Nelson Agholor. They probably tie the game there.
Yeah.
If the Patriots are in the same, if it's the same scenario, which it might not be. I understand that's not fair, but that's just, man. Let's go to Sean in Kutztown. What's up, Sean?
Hey, what's up, Hello.
Hey, what's up? What's up, Sean?
I just want to point out, they did not respect, the Patriots defense did not respect our offense at all. All they did was they had one single high safety, and they pressed our receivers at all. And there was a point in the game where we had the ball around the 50-yard line, a third and short. And at the point, what point do you just go for it? Like, take a deep shot. I mean, if you send them both down, you're going to have a one-on-one on one of the sides. I mean, maybe you get a pass interference call. Maybe you get something. Just take a shot.
I hear your frustration, you know? Sean, but who are you taking that shot with? Like, who are you going downfield to? Because we've seen it. We've seen it with Nelson Aguilar in recent weeks. You saw it in the Minnesota game where he just gave up on a ball. We saw it 2 weeks ago where before the ball even got to his position, he was already looking for a flag before there was even contact made. So who are you throwing it to?
At one point, but like there wasn't a shot at all. They didn't take a deep shot at all, and it stays when the Patriots stack that box constantly. And we already don't have a running game at all. Like it's hard to put blame on Carson Wentz. It's hard to put blame on Doug Peterson. And you got to take a shot. And
I agree.
I feel you, man.
Whatever you just said, man.
I don't know what he said.
He said. That's what he said.
Man, yeah, that was frustrating. That was a frustrating loss because that game was there for the taking. My God, can somebody in the secondary just intercept the ball just one time? Just make a damn play? Is that possible?
I know, but they played well today.
They did, but they also had a chance at four interceptions.
Yeah, it sucks.
Nelson Aguilar can't catch. Rodney McLeod can't catch. The entire secondary can't catch. Jalen Mills had two chances at interceptions today, and he pops right up, wagging his finger. I'm going, no, how about you wag your finger at the damn ball in your hands?
Hey, secondary's been better since he's been back.
They have.
My guy, Jalen Mills. Now, you know what was a ridiculous call was the forward progress call.
That was a joke.
Because no whistle was blown.
That was a joke, and that's what makes people think the NFL wants teams to win. I've never seen a forward progress call within, 2 seconds?
There's a whistle. Now, we're in here, right? So, and we have the audio on slightly, but I don't remember hearing a whistle.
I was watching that at home at the time. No, I wasn't here at that time. That was early in the third quarter, right?
So, maybe there was a whistle, but at the same time, like you said, 2 seconds.
Never seen it. Never seen it happen that quick.
And I'm like, dude, really?
Yeah, no. I mean, that was shady. But, you know, you can't bring up a play. You can't blame the refs when the team's been that bad. All that stuff. Yeah, great. Theo, Tone, Joe, Chris, Mike, Damon, you guys are all coming up next. He's Andrew Salchunas. I'm Jamie Lynch. You're listening to the Fanatic Postgame Show presented by PropSwap. Time at the Fanatic, 8:56.
It is the most exciting time of the year at Borgata Sports, New Jersey's favorite sports betting app. And here's a special offer for new customers on tomorrow night's matchup between Kansas City and Los Angeles. Place a $1 pregame moneyline bet on Kansas City and win $100 if Mahomes, last year's MVP, throws a touchdown. That's crazy. Just use bonus code Andrew100. That's right. First time Borgata sports bettors get paid 100-1 odds for tomorrow night if Mahomes throws a touchdown when you use bonus code Andrew100. So I know you're driving back to the Jersey side if you're leaving from the game. So place your first bet at Borgata Sports and check out the lines on football, pro and college basketball, hockey, and much more. Download the Borgata Sports app or visit BorgataSports.com today and get 100-1 odds on Mahomes throwing a touchdown pass tomorrow night with bonus code Andrew100. You must be 21 or older, must be in the state of New Jersey. Restrictions apply. Visit BorgataSports.com for full list of terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.